HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Hamas and Israel release a fifth group of hostages, which includes 10 Israelis and two Thai citizens. In return, Israel has freed 30 Palestinian prisoners. CBS's Lilia Luciano in Tel Aviv.
We learn more from the Israeli hostages about their conditions in captivity.
She told me sometime the food was not enough and the water was not enough. She told me in some points they had a small bottle of water for each person for 2 days.
Yair Rotem says his niece, 13-year-old Ila, emerged on Saturday thinner, pale, and quieter, but is improving.
Today marked the second of 3 days of memorials for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Her husband Jimmy attended a ceremony at Atlanta's Glenn Memorial Church, along with the Bidens, the Clintons, and former First Ladies Bush, Obama, and Trump. Her son James said his mother was vital to the family.
My mother was the glue that held our family together through the ups and downs and thicks and thins of our family's politics. As individuals, she believed in us.
Rosalynn Carter's funeral tomorrow is private. Disgraced South Carolina lawyer Alec Murdoch is sentenced to for stealing some $12 million from clients in his law firm. Judge Clifton Newman tells Murdoch, who's already serving two life sentences without parole for murdering his wife and younger son.
He had one 20-year sentence and a consecutive 7-year sentence for a total sentence of 27 years.
Scientists make a breakthrough in how lung cancer spreads. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Scientists at Tulane University say they found a way to stop a protein that spreads lung cancer. The study is the first to show that three proteins in the body's cells can work together to impede a fourth protein, the one that helps cancer cells grow. They hope the findings lead to a new anti-cancer drug and more personalized treatment.
Billionaire investor Charlie Munger, an opponent of taxes on the wealthiest Americans and Warren Buffett's partner at Berkshire Hathaway, has died at the age of 99. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Although Warren Buffett is often seen to be the face of Berkshire Hathaway, Charlie Munger was an equal and important partner to Buffett. Buffett's nickname for Munger was the Abominable No Man because he loved to reject potential investments.
Oakland is getting a new minor league baseball team, the Oakland Ballers, or B's for short, with plans to begin play in May of 2024. The intent is to keep baseball alive in Oakland as the Athletics move to Las Vegas. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Finding great candidates to hire.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. As expected, this year's gun deer harvest in Wisconsin was lower than last year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the number of deer registered was more than 17% lower than last year and about 11% lower than the 5-year average. Wardens say it's evidence that earlier bow seasons are getting more popular.
Over half of our total deer hunting population in Wisconsin now also hunts with archery equipment, whether that be bow or crossbow.
Jeff Pritzel is the DNR's deer specialist. People who heat their homes with natural gas might be looking at lower bills this winter. The U.S. Energy Information Administration says it expects a 21% drop in natural gas home heating costs this coming season. Madison-based Alliant Energy says it's because of large natural gas reserves. Also, winter in Wisconsin is forecasted to be mild. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Packers getting some players back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers say that some of their players are coming off the injury list and could be ready to play when they host the Chiefs Sunday night. Defensive back Eric Stokes was injured on a special teams play in Denver. He was back at practice. Rookie receiver Dontavian Wicks has cleared the concussion protocol. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Heat tonight in Miami. The Bucks 12-5 so far for the season. College hoops, Wisconsin with a win last night at the Kohl Center, 71-49 over Western Illinois. Greg Gard said that Western Illinois played tough on defense.
We could not get into a rhythm, and that's what all the switching and the gumming up, it just makes it ugly, you know, because they're switching on everything. And so then it gets you to stand a little bit and not cut as hard as you should or screen well, so that we needed to come out of the gate better. We were able to make some shots and get some stops there and finish it out.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds around the area in the overnight as temperatures tumble into the lower 20s by sunrise. Winds will be a bit breezy across the region. On Wednesday, we'll see plentiful sunshine, west winds, and by afternoon, we'll be in the upper 30s. It's 21 at our studios.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And right now, as we're speaking, there's a memorial tribute going on for Rosalynn Carter, First Lady. Under she, along with Jimmy Carter, her husband. I'll tell you, I had the privilege of meeting them several times. They were very fine people, among the finest people I met. Met Rosalynn Carter in Milwaukee in 1978. She was in to campaign for Democratic candidates for Congress. She was absolutely delightful to meet. Very reserved, very poised, very regal in a way, in a good way. She wasn't fancy or phony, but there's this phrase, nature's nobleman. Well, she is one of nature's noble women, believe me. She also, I met her in right after the election in 1980. Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter. And unlike Donald Trump, Jimmy Carter didn't claim that somehow there was something wrong with the election. But they held a party, a holiday party, Christmas party, at the White House, basically on the way out, and they invited Democrats from each of the states who'd been helpful to the Carters in their campaign. And my wife and I were invited, and she was in the receiving line, and then she mingled with everybody at a cocktail hour. And that was the last time that I met her or saw her. But I was very impressed with her. You know, during her lifetime, during her stewardship as First Lady, she accomplished a lot more than she got credit for than you may think. Everybody knows about, for instance, Eleanor Roosevelt. Everybody knows about Jackie Kennedy and what she did for the White House. But many people don't know that Rosalynn Carter was active in getting bills passed through Congress, especially on the subject of mental health, which was an area that she was very, very committed to. And wanted to remove the stigma of mental disease, that kind of thing. And she was a partner to Jimmy Carter in the truest sense of the word. They're married 77 years. So all I can say is, may she rest in peace. She was a very, very classy person. And I was glad to see all the MSNBC, CNN, all had nonstop coverage of the tribute. When I just walked in to the microphone here, one of her grandsons was speaking, and he gave a very, very fine address. So, top of the news, some developments in the hostage deal in the Middle East. On Monday, Hamas released 11 hostages. Today, they released 12 more in return. They released about something like now, I think, 90 hostages in return for 150 or 60 Palestinian prisoners. The hostages on Monday, the 11, let me tell you what their ages were. Two of them were 12 years old. Actually, four of them were 12 years old. Two of them were 16 years old. Two of them were 3 years old. Then there was a 34-year-old and a 51-year-old. They kidnapped, Hamas kidnapped three-year-olds. They kidnapped a nine-month-old infant. They kidnapped 12-year-olds. They kidnapped 16-year-olds. They raped girls, teenage girls. There was one teenage girl, Israeli, who was killed. They raped her. And then they falsely said that she had been killed in the aerial attack by Israel on Gaza until some video was captured when the IDF went in and saw them hustling her, mistreating her, and taking her down the hallway to kill her. You have to understand something. They are going to release 10 to 15 hostages a day to keep this thing alive. In return, they're going to get two or three times that number in Palestinian prisoners. And the Palestinian prisoners were not just all people who threw rocks and that kind of thing. They're murderers. They were terrorists. And these are some of them among some of the people that are going to be released in the deal. The principal Hamas terrorist in Gaza right now, remember, Hamas is controlled by about three other people who are in either Iraq or Turkey. And they're billionaires. But there is a guy in Gaza, and he was one of the ones released in a prior prisoner exchange. So one of the dangers you have in releasing anybody is one of them may surface to do the horrible things that this guy did. In any event, 12 more today. They took 249 hostages. If they do 10 a day, there's still another 3 weeks or so where they will drag this thing out. They themselves estimate that there are 30 to 40,000 Hamas. They call them fighters. They're terrorists. They're butchers. But I don't think that's right. Gaza is a society. They voted for Hamas in 2006 when the body of an Israeli girl, naked Israeli girl, was paraded through the streets of Gaza. A mob surrounded her, the body, spitting on it and shouting slogans. So there has got to be two things that occur after this is over. One is that all of Hamas has to be eradicated, just like ISIS was. You can't say, okay, stay in place. Okay, we forgive you. Not what they did on October 7. And I'm not going to get into the details. They were as grisly as anything that happened from the Nazis and from ISIS. But as long as Hamas is eradicated, it'll just pop back up unless there's a change in attitude. The change in attitude has got to be that, yeah, there'll be a Palestinian state. It'll involve Gaza and the West Bank, which are not contiguous, they're not connected. There was a conference at Yale University last week, put on by the dean of the management school, proposing the equivalent of a mini Marshall Plan for that area that would result in significant private investment, believe it or not, and public monies from various donor nations, including a superhighway between Gaza and the West Bank. It goes right through Israel. It's fine. It costs $5 billion. But the deal has got to be that side, the Palestinian state, recognizes Israel's right to exist and pledges its security as Israel would pledge their security, and that ultimately you can have tourism going back and forth. Remember something. Probably among the most popular tourist sites in the world, at least for Europeans and Americans, are in that area. Bethlehem, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee. People would love to go there. I would love to go there. That has to be opened up in a safe and responsible fashion. So right now, the report is 11 on Monday, but there were four 12-year-olds, two 3-year-olds without their mothers. One case, their mother was killed and their father, two 16-year-olds, an 18-year-old. These perverts kidnapped them and held them. And at the same time, let me tell you something else. Russia has kidnapped over 20,000 Ukrainian kids, brought them to Russia, said that they would beat the Ukrainian out of them, make them sing Russian songs, tell them bad things about Ukraine. The Hamas is exactly like that, or exactly like the Nazis that did similar things. And you have to distinguish that. You have to understand that. They describe themselves as part of Islamic Jihad. So is ISIS. So is Al-Shabaab. So is Al-Qaeda. So is the Janjaweed. And so Hezbollah and Iran are Shiites, but they are linked into it as well. So where do we go from here? I think there'll be 10 or 15 releases every day. The release that came out today, the 12 were 10 Israelis and 2 people from Thailand. People from countries that are impoverished, like Thailand, will frequently come as guest workers, and they had the misfortune to be in that area when all hell broke loose on October 7. All hell broke loose on October 7. Speaking of Ukraine, Chuck Schumer is going to introduce a bill this coming week for aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, aid to Taiwan, and more money at the southern border to deter illegal immigration. I think it's a good bill. And the idea is it will pass because it'll pass not only 51 Democratic votes. And this is a budgetary item, so it's not subject to filibuster or unanimous consent. But it'll get some Republican votes. And the question is, can it pass the House? It's absolutely essential. It's absolutely essential to stand with Ukraine against the Russians. Ukraine is an ally of ours. It's a democracy. And it is four square unified against Russia. It's a vanguard of the fight that will end up being in Eastern Europe and the Baltic states if something isn't done. And Israel is our ally. It also includes money for Gaza, and appropriately, it should. But we stand with Israel in saying that Hamas has got to be eradicated. We did not leave ISIS standing anywhere. We can't leave Hamas standing anywhere. And ultimately, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, and the Janjaweed can't be left anywhere. Okay, coming up, you will not believe Trump's argument opposing a gag order in the New York trial, the New York action brought by Letitia James.
We gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Is the Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and
phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices.
Oh, God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So it was up to Trump to respond to that. And here's what he said. Here's what the clown said. Quote, threats to the judge and his law clerk do not justify the gag order. These are actions by third parties. These are threats by third parties. The remedy should be the state should provide security for them. But as long as Trump doesn't make the threats, and apparently it's okay in his mind if he gins up the threats, you can't have a gag order. That is the second stupidest legal argument I have ever heard. Second stupidest. Why do I say it's not the worst? Why do I say that? Because the worst also belongs to Trump. The worst also belongs to Trump out in Colorado, when he argued that even though there'd been a factual finding that he'd been involved in the insurrection by fomenting it, by leading it, even with that, the 14th Amendment says that he had to have taken an oath to support the Constitution. Believe it or not, here was his argument, quote, I didn't say I would support the Constitution. Simply said that I would protect, preserve, and defend it. Now, look, they're good lawyers and they're bad lawyers, but even a bad lawyer can't, with a straight face, say that. Can't say, hey, I just said I would preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. I didn't say I'd support it, so therefore it's okay that I led an insurrection. That is a baloney argument. The judge out there did come in with a finding that Trump had fomented, had led the insurrection, which is a great finding, and it's true. But she was afraid to go the extra mile and say he couldn't be on the ballot and left that to the appeal court. That's the appeal court. But now in New York, Trump is saying, okay, the clerk got 20 to 30 calls a day on her cell phone, 30 to 50 messages on social media platforms threatening to kill her, obscenities, threatening her. And she has two personal email addresses, and they got plenty of threats too. But hey, that's not Trump's fault, because he didn't make those threats. They were made by third-party people whom he doesn't know. When you have tens of millions of people following you on social media, and you say things about the judge and the clerk like they're biased, they are going to rule against him, they're corrupt. In the case of Jack Smith in Washington, that he's deranged and a madman. There's a direct correlation between those kinds of threats, those are threats, and the more toxic threats of death. So the threats that have come in to Judge Engoron and the clerk are blood is red. Another one is, I am coming to get you and they will not stop me. Trump is saying, well, just because somebody said they're coming to get you, you will not stop them and blood is red, that's not my responsibility. I just said that they were deranged, crooked, and they prejudged this case. They were biased and they were out to get me. Oh, really? Oh, really? With tens of millions of people on social media. The Court of Appeals out there has got to reinstate that gag order. They've got to reinstate the gag order. There is a direct correlation between those kinds of threats by Trump and then threats of death. A direct correlation. You can graph it. You can graph it. These judges have got to show some spine and enter it. When he comports with it, in other words, when he stops making those threats, the death threats go down. I mean, Fannie Willis has security. Jack Smith is in basically some secure detention for his own protection. It's not really a detention against his will. It's basically he had to sell his house. We can't conduct a legal system like this. We cannot have a criminal threatening, he thinks slyly and obliquely. There's nothing sly and oblique about what he says, and there's nothing sly and oblique about his linkage to the actual death threats. And then the clown out in Colorado is saying, oh, I didn't agree to support it. I only agreed to protect, preserve, and defend it. At some point, even non-lawyers have got to look at that and say, we're not putting up with that anymore. We are simply not putting up with that anymore. And by the way, there was a football game over the weekend, a South Carolina game. Trump, believe it or not, was invited to attend the game out on the field. And they announced, here's Donald Trump. And you know what happened? I listened to the clip. There were boos, massive boos in South Carolina. There were some guys who got up and clapped. Yeah, I saw that too. But there weren't many of them, certainly not in proportion to the boos. And the boos were long and sustained. And I'm beginning to wonder. I mean, I really am beginning to wonder. There was an article that just came out today, and I have said this before. I'll repeat it right now. I think that Trump has early onset dementia, and he has the combative, quarrelsome kind. We have several friends who sadly have dementia in their 70s, and one of them is just nasty and nasty to his wife, whom he loved and had been married to for 55 years. But when you start to lose it, some people revert to passivity and some to dementia that is quarrelsome and that is angry and uses obscenities. And that this guy that I know does that. Now, take a look at Trump's conduct. He is roughly the same age as Biden. They're about 3 years apart. Trump will be in his 80s when he's president, if he becomes president again. And everything that comes out of his mouth is an insult or an attack. And he has frequently misstated names, locations, and everything else. And if Biden does that, oh, there's something wrong. If Trump, oh, well, he's probably doing it on purpose. That's just Trump. No, it's not just Trump. That is a deranged individual, increasingly deranged with early onset dementia, very early onset dementia, and it's going to get worse. And he can't be permitted to be president again. I'll tell you that. Coming up, a lot of news and weather and a fascinating
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Humanitarian aid is getting into Gaza during the Israel-Hamas ceasefire, says National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
On the ground, another 200 trucks got in through Rafah, and another 200 joined 200 that are in the queue. So now there's 400 trucks in the queue to get into Rafah, hopefully, in, again, coming hours and coming days.
A public memorial for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter will be followed by a private funeral, says CBS's Mark Strassman.
There's going to be a funeral service, but it's not for these who's who folks. It's really just small and private for family, and the same for the burial too. It's going to be on the family property. Rosalynn Carter will be buried in the same small town she was born in.
Disgraced former South Carolina lawyer Alex Murdaugh has gotten a 27-year sentence for stealing millions from his clients and law firm.
I hope that the time will come and you can look back and know that despite the things that I did, that I care about each one of them.
He's already serving life without parole for killing his wife and younger son. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill that would automatically update parents on what their child has checked out from the library got a public hearing today. Under the Republican-authored bill, all books checked out in either a public library or school library would be sent to parents. Emily Dittmar is with the Wisconsin Educational Media and Technology Association and a school librarian in Muskego.
With school libraries so understaffed, dedicating so much time to administrative tasks takes the certified librarians away from student interactions.
Dittmar adds that students' checkout history is already available to parents by request. People in Wisconsin feeling generous this time of year are urged to be careful when donating to charity. It's Charity Fraud Awareness Week. Consumer protection officials say you should ask solicitors for their names, addresses, and phone numbers. You should also ask how much of your donation will be used to actually help people. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle. We're out there.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds around the area in the overnight as temperatures tumble into the lower 20s by sunrise. Winds will be a bit breezy across the region. On Wednesday, we'll see plentiful sunshine, west winds, and by afternoon, we'll be in the upper 30s. It's 21 at our studios.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Bar.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
See a lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 23. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 19. High of 38 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
It's a wonderful Waukesha tradition and kicks off the holiday season. The 60th annual Christmas parade is Sunday, December 3rd.
Hi, I'm Don Brown. Join me live for all the fun. I'll be catching up with business owners, city leaders, and you before the parade even starts.
Your Waukesha Christmas pre-parade coverage is live Sunday, December 3rd from 3 to 4 p.m. and only on the Shaw 101.1 FM, WAUK 540 AM, and the Civic Media app.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. John Boaz, my friend, thanks for calling. John, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. I'd like to agree with you on your psychological statement about our former President Trump. You know that psychology tells us that when dementia starts on an older person, they get into the extreme childishness, which is selfishness. He is the con artist, and he's using the selfishness to get what he wants.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's an excellent comment. And the reason I raised it today, because I raised it in the past, but there is something new. And that is an article in the Daily Beast that said, quote, mainstream media is ignoring his cognitive decline. That just came out. That's why it was raised today. And the other day, I went through a whole litany of his calling Paul Ryan Ron, his calling Kevin McCarthy Steve, many, many other things, referring to Frederick Douglass as a contemporary civil rights champion, that kind of thing. Now, when Biden, if Biden, and Biden does not do that kind of thing, but if he did, people would seize on it. With Trump, they shrug and say, well, he's just, you know, bat feathers crazy anyway, so what the heck? Well, no, not what the heck. It's bad enough what he was. It's bad enough what he was, but what he is right now, if you want somebody who's malevolent, you want somebody who's a traitor to Putin and serves Putin's interests and steals money, fine. But you want somebody like that who is also demented, has dementia. And the answer, I mean, it's a low bar. It's a low bar. But one of the other things that just came out, and this really, really frosted me, is it turns out that the Republicans have been deliberately altering, slowing video and audio of Joe Biden. I'll give you an example. When he met with Xi a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about getting fentanyl under control, that video with the audio was then altered and spread all over social media to make it look like Biden wasn't even in command of his own senses. And, you know, take a long time to talk. And then the legend came over the bottom, keep this guy away from microphones. That was an altered video audio. That was altered. Now, just came out, Daily Beast. And so it'll come out in mainstream media. But just remember something. And this goes back even to the Al Gore race in 2000. I want to tell you a couple of media tricks the Republicans use, and they've always used these things in modern times. They can slow up video and audio to make it look like somebody's uncertain, that somebody doesn't have all his marbles, that kind of thing. What they did back in 2000, and this originally came up during the Newt Gingrich era, and they've done it before, is they will leave on the screen a word that makes you uncomfortable or dislike the person for a nanosecond longer than everything else. I'll give you an example. The word bureaucrat or bureaucrats. The word bureaucrat or bureaucrats has the word rat in it, or rats. What they would do with Al Gore in a lot of their advertising, till it was caught, and even then I think they continue to do it, they would say, Al Gore supports the bureaucrats, say. But they would leave rats, only the rats part of it, on for a nanosecond. It was almost not discernible. But you would come away thinking there was something about this presentation that you really didn't like, even though it was Oppo advertising. Do not, and I'm not even getting into things like social media where they just flat out lie. And we know that, and the Russians do it, and the Iranians do it, and the Chinese do it. Don't get your news from social media, or not exclusively from social media. And just be aware that they are using techniques, altering techniques in audio and video to make you dislike the object of what they're doing. So with Biden, with Xi, they're talking, I think it was November 13th, then this thing was posted, this video, this altered video was posted on November 15th, and Biden looks like he's sort of fumbling, taking a long time to say just a few things. They altered it. They altered it. And with Al Gore, they altered the video. They would alter the presentation and leave a very harsh, unpleasant word just out of the blue. So, John and Boaz, thank you. And I think independently of what they're doing with Joe Biden, take a look at Donald Trump's behavior. He is childish and childlike. And they say he always has been. Well, not really. He's always been selfish, out for himself, with sticky fingers. He's on the take. Yeah, always that. But he wasn't as demented, in a sense, just blurting out insults, blurting out lies, vengeful. Take a look at his face in his mugshot. Take a look at his face in New York as he walked into the court. This has got to be discussed a lot more than it has. Talking about President of the United States, a guy who will also be in his 80s when he's president. He will also be in his 80s if you were elected president. And to my way of thinking, has early onset dementia. And there's an article today in the Daily Beast that said, yeah, he does. And mainstream media just is not picking up on it. So be aware of that. One other piece before I talk about Hunter Biden, just announced that Brad Schimmel, former attorney general, who was beaten by Josh Call, says he's running for the Supreme Court. That race will be in April, the primary in February. He's coming into it a little late. I know him, and he's running against Ann Walsh Bradley. Now, Ann Walsh Bradley is somebody I've known a long time and have a lot of admiration for. Remember, there are two Bradleys, Ann Walsh Bradley and Rebecca Bradley. Rebecca Bradley is the election denier. You don't want her. This is Ann Walsh Bradley, who's been a leader on the court. She's strongly pro-Constitution, pro-Wisconsin Constitution, pro-democracy. And she is a fierce independent streak. You want her, Ann Walsh Bradley. So why is Schimmel doing this? He's just hoping that the Republicans will get behind him this spring, and that they'll get, and if he gets on, he'll be an election denier. So you would then have four Republicans, two already, Ann Walsh Bradley and Annette Ziegler, and then it would be Brad Schimmel as election deniers. You have the fourth justice who stood tall and was not an election denier. And so you'd have to rely on him. But that's a lot of burden and a lot of guesswork. So here's my message. Just because we elected Janet Protasiewicz, just because we did that, does not guarantee that we're out of the woods on our democracy. If Brad Schimmel gets back in, we're back in the woods. Keep that in mind. Spread the word. It's very, very important you spread the word on that. Well, Hunter Biden, he's done something that I really, really admire. He was subpoenaed by James Comey. He's the chairman of the oversight committee that's launching the impeachment. And he subpoenaed Hunter Biden. He subpoenaed Hunter Biden for a private secret deposition, not public. Hunter Biden said, no, I'll give you a deposition. It's going to be in public. It's going to be in public. The public can be there. It'll be videoed. Why did he do that? He did that because Comey in the this guy Comer in the past, with other witnesses, has selectively edited it and only released certain portions of it that seemed to establish whatever point Comer was trying to make. This is what Gableman did. Gableman would subpoena people for a Star Chamber type deposition in an office in Brookfield that with no name on the door, and nobody could show up. And the people who were supposed to be deposed, the mayor of Green Bay, Mayor Madison, said, hey, we'll give a deposition, But under the law, it has to be in front of the legislative committee that authorized this investigation in public. We want the TV stations to look at it, the newspapers, Madison, Milwaukee, everywhere else. So you're not going to get away with any funny stuff. And you know what? Gableman did. He had the temerity to then try to press criminal charges against these mayors for, quote, not giving a deposition. Well, good luck, Comer, if you try it with Hunter Biden. We are tired of these star chamber things. We're tired of the sneakiness, all the sneakiness, altering audio, altering video, holding things in secret, and then releasing selective portions. Sunshine is the best disinfectant. These people in the Republican Party operate in the shadows. They operate in the basement. Go to the lines. Bob and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Well, I think we need to look at the Russian connection with Trump much more intensely than we have. You know, of course, 2013, you know, when he was in Russia and he talked to all the oligarchs, that's where they got sheep dipped in some of the craziness of Russia. And, of course, he gets his money there. But I think he made 7 phone calls in the spring of 2020 to Putin. And I am about as certain as I can be that those were training phone calls, how to approach the election and how to suppress the press and everything else that he wants to suppress, and do all that. And I think he colluded with Putin then just as much as they colluded in 16 when the Senate Intelligence Committee and got him on the goods on that one. Merrick Garland should have proceeded with the Mueller report and the Senate Intelligence Committee report and the collusion with Russia. He should have done that from the get-go. And waiting on that and the insurrection thing for a year was just incompetence, gross incompetence on the part of Merrick Garland. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. Merrick Garland initially chickened out, and when he unleashed Jack Smith, it was a year late. And the reason I say that is because now all these trials are set to occur during the presidential campaign, and Trump will say, I want delays and all that. If he'd started a year before it, which he should have, these trials would have been last summer, number one. Number two, Trump is a Russian agent. There's no way, nice way to say it. Take a look at the tape of the Helsinki interview. Where he's there with Putin. Journalists said, well, the CIA and the FBI said Putin here interfered the 2016 election. And Trump said, well, I've talked to Putin and he said he didn't. Why would he? He said, why would he? And he didn't trust his own CIA and FBI. And Ron Johnson didn't either, by the way. And that issue was never brought up in the Senate campaign, and it should have been, among many issues that should have been against Ron Johnson. But it wasn't brought up. If Trump gets in, he's already said he'll pull us out of NATO. If he pulls us out of NATO, a NATO without the United States is a toothless.
93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Masculine Direction. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, George Santos is in deep trouble. A Democratic congressman today filed a motion to expel him. It's a resolution. It's called a privileged resolution. Why is that important? It's important because under the House rules, a privileged resolution must be voted on in 2 days, 48 hours. 48 hours. Today's Tuesday, the 28th. By Thursday, the 30th, it must be voted on, up or down, up or down. Last time, Santos beat it, but only because some Democrats went along with the Republicans and said, nah, you know, the guy hasn't been convicted yet, blah, blah, blah. Now there's a lot of indication that it's going to pass. This time, most of the Democrats, perhaps all of them, will vote for it. And a fair number of Republicans will vote for it. They've finally been embarrassed by the guy, largely because the Ethics Committee has come out with a report. Last time, the Ethics Committee had not come out with its report. It just had not come out with its report. He wasn't convicted and blah, blah, blah. Well, now, yeah, he hasn't yet been convicted. He's been indicted on 20-some-odd felonies. But their own Ethics Committee, which is split bipartisan, Republican, Democrat, said he did everything that he's accused of in the criminal courts and more. And more. One of the weird things is you're not even sure what his name is because he's used different names before. He's claimed to have been born in different areas. The guy's a mess. Now, if he is expelled, that'll be one less Republican vote on future votes on budgets and that kind of thing. So that's number one. Number two, there'll be a special election. It's not like the governor gets to appoint somebody. And it is very likely now that a Democrat will win that special election. So instead of 221 to 212, it may be 220 to 213. Gives the Republicans a lot less of a margin. In response, Santos is amazing. Considering a guy who's under indictment, I have a feeling that he's going to try to, you know, flee, get out of the United States if he can. Normally, they confiscate your passport when you're charged with a felony like that. But here he's a member of Congress. You know, he may have said, well, leave me my diplomatic passport. And then he takes a bus up to Canada or something. But here's what the guy's doing. They ask him what he thinks, and he says, I will stand for the ejection vote. I will stand for it. He's going to stand there. And by that, he didn't mean I will stand for election. He means I'm going to get up and stand there in an accusatory fashion. And he said, quote, the people will know that I said, expel me and set the precedent so we can see who the judge, jury, and executioners are. This guy has a messiah complex, the judge, jury, and executioners, so we can see. Well, that would be the rest of the House of Representatives, Jack. That's who it would be. One of the things, and I'm very reluctant to give him legal advice because he won't take it, and he's not going to listen to me, but if he had a good lawyer, you know what I would do? I'd say this is like Julian Bond back in Georgia in the 1960s. Julian Bond was a civil rights leader, and he ran as elected to the legislature, but he was opposed to the Vietnam War. The Georgia legislature refused to seat him. They said, we have the sole right to decide who's in the legislature in our chamber, and we're not going to seat him. It went to the U.S. Supreme Court, 9-0. U.S. Supreme Court said they had to seat him because even though normally a chamber is the sole judge of whether somebody who is elected comports with whatever the rules are, in this case, you know, under the First Amendment and so on, this guy takes a view against the Vietnam War. And I was alive back then. I went in the Navy in 1970. So this happened in roughly 1968. Nowadays, everybody says, oh, the Vietnam War, what a mistake. We shouldn't have done it. That was not the majority sentiment in 1968. There were companies who would not hire you if you had protested against the Vietnam War or were a conscientious objector. In other words, everybody was still swept up, and properly so, although mistakenly in this case, the patriotism that enveloped the country in the Second World War, the Korean War. And it's that kind of patriotism we need back now. And what people didn't understand is that Lyndon Johnson made a terrible mistake. It was wrong what he did. And we lost 50,000 soldiers in Vietnam. We were losing 250 a week for a while. So Julian Bond said, no way, I'm not for this. And if I were Santos's lawyer, except he probably can't afford to hire a lawyer, but if I were Santos's lawyer, I'd say, look, the people who should expel somebody are the electorate. People in Staten Island voted for this guy. There has been nobody out there bringing some sort of resolution or legal action to have a new election. We didn't know or anything of that nature. And he stands for election this fall. And he said he's not going to run again, but let's say he's lying because he lies all the time. And he does run again. Okay, that election is in November. That's 12 months from now. Let the electorate decide. And under the Julian Bond example, precedent, always leave it to the electorate, not to some clowns in the Congress or a state legislature who may have their own reasons to get rid of him. Yeah, it looks bad. He's under indictment, but he hasn't been convicted. Now, I do not support Santos. I think he's bad news. He never should have been elected in the first place. But the issue of whether a Congress or a state legislature can throw somebody out when they've been elected and are about to face another election, this is not like an impeachment and conviction of a Supreme Court justice who's there forever. And it's a legitimate issue. It truly is a legitimate issue. That said, this guy is so bad. When the Ethics Committee comes back with a report that's bipartisan and unanimous, that says, based on our investigation, he did everything he's accused of doing, financial fraud, lying, stealing money, and more, M-O-R-E, more, I would vote to expel him too. I would vote to expel him too, but it would be it would ignore the fact that there is a legitimate issue. Well, I'll tell you what, coming up, a lot of news and weather, and believe it or not, some support growing for Nikki Haley from odd places, not just Romney, but also the Koch brother. The remaining Koch brother.
Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Welcome winter. Heavy snow has fallen in parts of the Northeast, says CBS's Elaine Cajano.
In New York, airport crews in Rochester were hard at work on the tarmac, de-icing planes before takeoff. And near Buffalo, thunder snow as a lake effect mix of cold air, unpredictable wind, and snow clogged roads and towns.
Oh, it was a little crazy. A foot of snow in the road for about 8 miles and slick when it was plowed.
It was the second day of memorials for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who died last week at the age of 96. CBS's Mark Strassman was in Atlanta.
Star power in the sanctuary, America's most exclusive sisterhood, all five living First Ladies.
Secretary Clinton and Dr. Biden, we also welcome your lovely husbands.
Their husbands making a trio of presidents in the room.
The Carter's daughter, Amy Carter, spoke.
When I see